You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
1 Corinthians chapter number 15, it's almost humorous watching you, because you're a very animated people, you're a shout people, you're an amen people, you're a praise the Lord people, and I'm looking at you tonight and it's like you've been hit by a semi truck, you're a deer, I guess, in headlights. I think you folks are just perhaps exhausted, and it's just not today, it's been all week coming up to it, and then the carnival on Friday night, all day yesterday, last night, and today. And so I'm going to try to speak very quietly and to sing lullabies for a few minutes here. And college students, you're sitting next to a girl for your first time. You can have her put her head on your shoulder. I will try to do my best to understand that you're exhausted, and rightfully so. That clock, it's all, I think, computer run. It's 5 minutes off, and so I think it's a quarter till eight right now, and I should be done by 10 minutes to 8 a.m. time. Love God's people. You're the best. You talk about a wrong message. I was going to preach this last week. I never got to it. And I've been sitting up here thinking, I might just preach a different message tonight. I have another one ready to go tonight. But why in the world would I speak to you about this subject? You know, I on Sunday make a video. Sunday morning, it's only out front for 2, 3, 4 minutes. I told them a story this morning. Maybe you've watched it. Maybe you have. Maybe it's not online. I don't know how they do that. But you would not one person here would know this person. I wasn't his pastor. But I knew him for so long, and he passed away, and at his funeral, it's really quite tragic, a Christian, married, family, always in church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, always there. But when he came to the end of the journey, he had to look back and say, I have done absolutely nothing for God. Never drove a bus, never cleaned a bus, never fueled a bus, never repaired a bus, never went to a prayer meeting, never taught a class, never sang in the choir, never served as an usher, security, nothing. A good person, but nothing. My dad used to lead us in a song, nothing but leaves for the master, when we should be bringing fruit and bringing results to heaven and laying up a treasure in heaven. And we look back and we find out nothing was ever done for Christ. I don't want to lead a church by, do we have a nursery here, fellas? I can't find that. I don't want to lead you through guilt that you have to work on the bus route. I mean, good night. It's time to work on the bus route. You have 7 children, and they're all under age 6. And you need to be a bus captain. You need to be working. You know, there are sometimes some things in our service to God, some items need to go on hold. I don't know how a mother with a little family, and we do have mothers that are out every week. I see you, the organist. I don't know if she was the one tonight, but I see her little 3 kids, and I see your little 3 kids, and I see little kids coming out. I think it's a good thing. But it doesn't work for everybody. I think you ought to be a mechanic. To keep these buses rolling, I think you ought to have a mechanic. But maybe with your schedule, I am not suggesting that you do nothing for God. Illustration, years ago, our kids have been gone. Tiffany, this February, will be married 25 years. She's been out of our home. Tabitha, December, will be married 20 years. Tim, he's not even sure he's married, I guess, but he's got five kids. He's pastor in Arizona. He's got 15 years. We've not had anybody in our home for years. I can do in January what most of you folks cannot do. Brother Manley, Kevin, really designed this years ago, that you can read the Bible through in 30 days in January. January 1st is Genesis chapter 1, the book of Genesis. And the next day it's Exodus, which is only 40 chapters. Genesis is 50. And you just read a book a day, and then several of these books. I can do that because, one, I don't have any children at home. And two, the older you get, you don't have to sleep as much. And I can stay awake for hours at night and read my Bible. And it's not a big deal. I don't read on, quote, company time. I don't think that's fair to you. I study on company time. I'm supposed to give myself to the Word of God in prayer. But I don't know of a mother here raising children that can read her Bible through in 30 days. Do you agree with that? I think so. You know, John 4, she hath done what she could. What can you do right now? But in addition to that, don't get to the end of the journey and you've done nothing for Christ. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that blessed shore, just to be near the dear Lord, oh, that will be glory for me. Well, it won't be much glory. I mean, to go to heaven's great, as brother, that was a great song, just sang that roundup. But nothing to offer God, no service, no prayer life, no helping people, no sacrifice, nothing. And I'm speaking tonight to the crowd that does everything. How you get to choir practice, been out all day today, but you did. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. I never knew this verse was in the Bible till 1969. And I was in Jefferson, Wisconsin, and they read it, and I heard it for the very first time, and I learned the song, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of your Lord, your labor's not in vain in Him. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 58. I want to speak about work tonight, God's work. And I want you to see with me tonight, verse number 58. Let's read it together, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Ready, begin. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you see, one of the key words here is work. Work is to give yourself to something, or place your hand or mind on something and do something. God wants you to do something. He didn't save you to sit and to sour. God didn't cause us to, okay, you're saved, you're on the way ahead, now sit. Always abounding, going beyond in the work of the Lord. Well, we go beyond in the sports arena and political arena and the job arena and all those things, and they may be good, but I tell you, the best thing in life you can do is to abound in the work of the Lord. Always, always stay at it all the time. There's something about children seeing daddy working in the work of the Lord. I don't know what it is. And it may not be right now. You can run a bus route. I've got some men that say, I want to be a deacon, but I can't right now. And every year we have fellows that say, I can't accept the position right now. I cannot give the attention. I don't think they're backslidden. I think they might know their schedule. That doesn't give the 40 of you guys that are deacons the opportunity to get out, by the way. But the Bible says always abounding, always in the work of the Lord, for as much as be steadfast, unmovable. Well, why? I would not mean to cause grief to your heart, Brother Eliud, and your sweet mom and your sweet husband. Well, I tell you what, he, Long Beach, California, your son and I talk about all the time what he did with that bus route. And he did it for week after week, after month after month after year. And I forget, Brother Allen, your dad asked for 10 more years. Is that what he asked for? Was it how many? Six more years. God, give me six more years. If you let me, I have cancer. Will you give me six more years? I'll run that bus route. And for 6 years, he filled that bus with children. I tell you, that's the work of the Lord. We have some of you that are watching all over the country and the world. You're shut in. You cannot run the bus. You cannot drive the bus. But you can pray for the buses in America and the jeepneys around the world, that God would bring forth people to the house of God. I know right now while I'm preaching, I need as much help as I can get, but I know there are people that are praying for me around this globe right now. Always abounding the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in him. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of God that sent me and to finish his work. John chapter 4, verse 34. John 5, verse 17. Jesus answered and said, hitherto I must hither go forth and I must work. I have to work. Jesus worked. John 9, 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. The day cometh, the night cometh, when no man can work. There's coming a day, if the Lord should tarry in his coming, that many of this room, and myself included, if the Lord tarries, our exit from planet Earth will be to be laid to rest in a cemetery. One day my labor is going to be done. One day the voice was silent. One day I'll not mount a pulpit. One day this chair will be empty and you'll have to find someone to fill it. But I do not want to do less for God in these days which God has given me, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't want to do less. Well, you know, it's time for me to take up golf. Time for me to take up, and if you golf, God bless you. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's not for me. I tell you what's more relaxing for me is preaching. It's being with the people of God. That's what, go ahead and golf. You're not wrong. After all the things you do around here, you ought to have something else you do. But the Bible says that I must work, because the day's coming when no man can work. My Bible says, John 17, 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. That's our Lord. God gives 9 gifts. We know those. We've studied them before. When you get saved, there's a gift. And then you have talents. Are you using your gifts and talents for God? Maybe your gift is onefold. Maybe God gave you the gift of teaching. Are you teaching? Maybe God gave you the gift of helps. Are you helping? Maybe God gave you the gift of giving, and you had the ability to earn money and give and live sacrificially to cause and fuel the cause of Christ. Whatever gift God gave you, are you using it? Do you even know your gift? Have you studied the gift? Are you aware of your gift? Have you talked to someone that loves God and could give you advice and direction? Say, could you consider this? It's, to me, it's very glaring what normally your gift is. I can normally see it in a Christian. I'm not saying I could tell you what it is all the time, but maybe you ought to get someone to help you. And then the talents you have. These men that play these trumpets down here, these folks that play all these instruments, that is a gift, a talent that they have, and they're using it for God. I believe you ushers, as you greet people, that's working in the work of God. The Bible makes it very clear that a great life is a working life. A great life is where we're not lazy. A great church is a working church. You read those churches in the book of Revelation, there are seven of them. And to each one says, I know thy works. And many of those churches drop the ball with their works. Brother Wooten, it breaks your heart like it breaks my heart. How churches are closing. They say somewhere between 5 and 10,000 churches a year close in America. 1,400 preachers a month resign, quit the ministry. I was speaking with a chairman of the deacons yesterday again. He said, please, Brother Treiber, they've been waiting for a year and a half. I can't find them a pastor. I said, our guys are taken so quickly. But that is just one example of a file that's about that thick in my office, and you probably have one even thicker than I. The churches across America are assembling today without a preacher. What a tragedy. And I believe that many of our kids ought to be policemen and firemen and doctors and nurses and lawyers. And if that's what God has, fine. But have you given God first opportunity? We have cities in America where I don't think you could get saved. I'm not suggesting we're the only place. But I know on this Sunday night in Santa Clara, California, we're the only church open. I wonder how many churches in Santa Clara, California would actually know how to lead someone to Christ. Now, I'm not responsible to answer for other churches. But we've got a world that's perishing. Well, yeah, but this place over here, they offered me a good 40, I don't even know the numbers they are, a retirement package. Is it 401 or 403? I know it's something nowadays. I don't know, whatever it is. They offered me a good package. Yeah, but what are you doing to abound in the work of the Lord? Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. On this day, my wife and I, she spoke to me this morning about 4 years ago. This morning, my sister in Tennessee just turned over in bed about 2:30 in the morning, made a sound, wasn't sick, made a sound, and was gone. She was there and gone. You have just a window to serve God. I look at the book of Acts, and I'm going to get where I'm going and I'll wind it up, but I see Acts is a serving church, Acts 20, serving the Lord. And then I see it's a sending church, Acts 11 and Acts 13, and it's a sensitive church, Acts 16:9. Come over to Macedonia and help us. I see the church in Acts as serving, as sending, as sensitive. It's a scriptural church, as the church at Berea and the church at Thessalonica in the book of, they search the scriptures. It is a singing church as they sang together. It was a suffering church, Acts chapter 12. When it pleased Herod, he took Peter and John, and he beheaded John with the sword. And it pleased the Jews. He took Peter also, and he put him in prison. It was a suffering church. It was a stewardship church. They sent, the Bible says in Acts 11, relief to the church at Jerusalem. Church at Jerusalem was having a hard time and struggling, and they sent relief to that church. It was a spirit-pressed church. My spirit, Paul said, I came to Athens, and my spirit was pressed within me. I came to a city of Macedonia, and I looked at that city, and my spirit was pressed within me. I find it's a spirit-filled church, Acts 2. It's a supplication church. Prayer was made, chapter 12, verse 5, without ceasing of the church. It was a soul winning church. 37 times in Acts, they preached the gospel. The gospel's the good news to Jesus Christ. two things that I'm done. Ephesians chapter number 4, please. And when I say I'm done, I'll be done. Ephesians 4. As we see this working church, I want to see my job. And secondly, I want to see your job. Here's my job. Acts chapter 4. I'll read verse 11. I'd like you to read verse 12. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did God give you a pastor? Look at verse 12. Ready? Begin. For the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting, the maturing, the growing of people for the work of the ministry. I've had the joy for 45, 6, 7 years travel this country, preach everywhere. I've preached just everywhere. And it's always this. Brother Treber is the pastor of the great North Valley Baptist Church. Brother Treber does this, and Brother Treber does this. But can I tell you this? What they should be saying, yes, he pastors a great church, the ushers, and then list the 40-some ushers. And the nursery workers, you ladies are going to meet in a few minutes, and I'm going to get you on your way, that you hold the babies. I'm nothing. I don't think I'm special. But there were nursery workers that just 15 minutes from here held me in their arms. And I started in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There was nursery workers that held me. None of them looked at me saying, that squalling baby is going to be a preacher of the world's greatest church. You know what I wish they would introduce sometimes? Say, this introduction is going to take about 30 minutes. We want to read all the Sunday school teachers and the A ministry, and then the B ministry, and the C ministry, and then the D ministry. We just want to read. We want to read all the shuttle drivers, and all the bus drivers, and all the mechanics, and all the ushers, and all the security, and all the choir members, and all the orchestra members, all the staff members. You see, that'd be a good introduction right there. Because Jack Treber doesn't drive the bus, but he finds people through our staff and through Brother Flood and Brother Poos and others that we had a new driver just got us like driving today. Thank God that someone had a burden. I'll drive that bus. The man right out here this morning said, I rode the bus. I'm neighbors to the Van Dyke. I rode the bus here years ago. A lady at the carnival said to me, she goes, on Friday night, she said, I rode the bus. I said, who was your captain? Ken Jen. A man this morning, Brother John, you were telling me about a family back here, a couple, we rode the bus. Bus 11, is Herna Mendoza on the bus? And she said, yes. And there was a reunion and said, Christina? She said, oh no, she's in heaven now. There comes a day your work ceases. My job's to get you ready. I can't do it all. That's why God's given me men to help me get you ready to serve God. Hey, can you sing? Get in the choir. Oh, I know that means you have to come to practice, but get in the choir. See, there's no more room in that choir. Well, stand on the side. Oh, I was abounding in the work. My job's to get you ready so that one day you get to heaven, you'll say, I did something for God. And I've done your job. Your job is 1 Corinthians 15:58, to always abound in the work of the Lord. Find a task, fulfill a task, and finish a task. I read often the 10 largest Sunday schools in America that are all gone now, largest churches, and the 10 fastest growing, all gone. But everyone had something in common. They all, Brother Whitlow, you know this, they all worked. They ran those buses. They had those big choirs. They had preaching. They had soul winning. And we've watched it. The pastor said, I don't think we're going to have choirs. A lot of pressure on the family. So we got six people going to have be our band and our singers. And they do away with this for that. And by the way, before long, they do away with this. And we're going to do away with this, and I'm going to just sit on a stool and talk to you. It's all over America right now. And we turn our pulpits into lecture stadiums. And then we say, you know, as the crowds dwindle, we're going to wall up the balcony. We shouldn't have built a building like this. We're going to wall that up. And then we're going to put walls back here, and we reduce it. That big 8,000 seat auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dr. Lee Robertson would run 12,000 a Sunday. They tried all this new stuff. Now there's no more church, but they walled it up to seat about maybe 1,000. Something went wrong there. We'll get rid of Sunday school. Oh, I want as many people studying the Bible all week long so that you could teach the Word of God Sunday and praying for your class. I was laughing at Brother Reimers because I do it so often in teachers' meeting tonight. He says, the lesson for our children next week is the Filipino jailer. As the Filipino jailer came to know Christ. We work with so many Filipinos, it's the Philippian jailer. And then you wonder why I'm like this. I have to work with people like this. What does God want you to do? I had the joy of watching my dad sing in the choir and being a deacon and Tuesday night going to choir practice. And my mother. And I saw him working around the church on Saturdays and serving the Lord on Sundays. I watched my dad at times become the music director and lead music in the church. I saw mother and dad sing together in church. Those are precious memories. My folks serve God. I have so many more things to say, but I think I've said enough tonight. You got the idea. All through the Bible, people worked. Ezra worked on the house of God. Nehemiah worked on the wall for God. Everybody worked. Paul worked preaching the gospel and establishing churches. Father, it's almost rude to think about speaking to them about this subject. They worked so hard. I pray your blessing upon their lives. God, may every child get in their heart early how they're going to serve thee. I thank you for the army of people that close now this year again for another year, 100,000 Bibles to this area. I think of our ministry for our 50th year beginning January 1st to minister to the city of Santa Clara. And I pray that God, you would help us to do more for thee, to abound in the work of the Lord. Some are shut in, so we're going to have to depend on them to be prayer warriors and pray for this ministry. And pray every day for the needs of the church and for soul winners to be out reaching the lost. Some are going to have to be prayer warriors for turn the tide for our country and see America come back to thee. Some are going to have to begin praying for preachers that are, most preachers, we should not be weary, but most preachers are weary in well-doing. It's wearisome at times. God, help us be in the work of the ministry, always abounding.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.